How many of you have seen, by this time, you've seen The Passion? Well, maybe I should ask, how many have not seen The Passion as yet? Well, it's not quite half and half, but just about half and half. Velma and I went Friday afternoon to see this movie that's being talked about. And I'll tell you what's been on my mind the last several days. There is a convergence of events that are taking place right now that should make it much easier than ever before to confront people about Jesus Christ. His name, I'm sure, has been spoken by more people in the last 2 months than at any time in history, anywhere in the past. I know that His name is being spoken over and over again. Some people criticize the movie, and some of them, like Velma and I, were awe-stricken, broken-hearted as we watched what went on and realized that what was depicted in this film was pretty much what happened there. I don't know if it was as bad as it looked, but I have a feeling that it was just that bad and probably even worse. But people are moved who go to that movie. And while Velma and I were gone last week up into Colorado, I kept thinking there's got to be something that we can do. Because people, I believe, are more vulnerable and more open to receive a word about Jesus than maybe they have ever been before. And many people, in fact, last week it was reported to us here locally that someone went to the movie and after the movie was finished went into the ladies' room and there just doubled over in the corner of the ladies' room was a woman. Just praying and repenting and asking God to forgive her of her sins. This is not something that is unusual. This takes place more often. But while we were in Colorado, we decided to do something that might help you. If you have an unsaved person that you know has either gone to this film or is going to see this film, then there's something I put together to help you to witness to that person. A lot of us just don't feel comfortable witnessing to anyone. Somehow we are hindered by some feeling of a spirit of rejection or something. We're not really, or we may just feel we don't know exactly how to witness to a person about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what may have been happening in their lives as they viewed this film. But I want to just give you a little three-minute CD that I put together that you could literally put in the hands of a person that you know has either seen this film or is going to see this film that will help them to know what to do now that they've been moved. Now that their heart has been stirred, they'll know what to do with that stirring that they're feeling. So if you guys are ready, just punch that in. It's just 3 minutes.
I am sure that the passion of Jesus has made a profound effect on your life, and maybe you, like a lot of others, have decided to become a true follower of Jesus, but you simply don't know exactly how. I've been a follower of Jesus for more than 60 years and can say from experience it is a great way to live. I'd like to help you know this Jesus that you saw portrayed in this film. To know Him in a personal way is the most important thing in life, and you can really know Him. You can have a meaningful relationship with Him. Now, a meaningful relationship is the result of meaningful, ongoing communication. And this being true, the primary step toward knowing Him is simply to talk to Him. He hears you, and He will respond. All you need to do is simply say to Him, "Lord Jesus, I know it was for my sins that you bore those awful stripes on your back. It was for my sins that those thorns were pressed into your brow. It was for my transgressions that those horrible nails were driven through your hands that had done only good. It was for me that that spear was rammed into your side. Yes, it was for me you suffered and died. I know this now better than ever before. All I know to do is to say from my heart, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I ask you to come into my heart and take charge. And this I do of my own free will. Be Lord of my life from this day forward. Amen. Now that you've taken the first and most important step, there are three other steps I would like to encourage you to take. First, find a church home. You need to relate to others who have done as you have done. Two, be immersed in water as a testimony to your newfound faith. And three, begin to read the Bible and listen to hear what Jesus is saying to you. If you do not have a church home, let me invite you to join me at University Park Church on Rogers Avenue near the river, where people are seeking to know Him better. God bless you as you begin your exciting new journey with Jesus, which incidentally leads to great peace and joy and ultimately heaven. If you want to talk to someone about the decision you've made, call me, Dr. Bob Wilhite, at 817-307-4998. May Jesus reveal Himself to you is my prayer.
Hallelujah. There are about 100 of these out media booth. There's about 100 of these out there that I made, and all that I'm asking is that you can have one of these free, or if you want to donate some money, we'll make more of them. But if you want one of these, or two, or three, all that's required is that you put it in the hands of someone who went to the movie that you know didn't know Jesus or is unchurched. If you know people like that, then I want you to give them a copy of this. It just could be a person might get saved. And that's what it's all about. Amen? And I really felt such an anointing when I did this, when I wrote it and when I put it on tape. I believe God's going to use this little tool, which is all it is. It's just a little tool that you can use. It doesn't cost much to produce, but if you want to leave some money out there, we'll get more and more of them produced because we're at a critical time. We're at a very critical time. We have the movie, and now we have 40 days of purpose. And they're just working right together, I believe, as an instrument that God is going to use to bring literally hundreds of thousands of people into the kingdom of God. I believe that, and I want to be a part of that. How about you? I want to have something. I want to have a part of what God is doing through the media and through this event that we call 40 Days of Purpose. And Pastor Parkey didn't give this testimony, but I know about it, and I'm going to share it with you. There was a young man who came forward to receive Jesus last Sunday morning right here at this altar. And on Monday, Brother Parkey called, as we do every Monday evening. We call all the visitors and all the people who came forward. And he happened to get this person on the telephone. And here's the story that was told him. I'm sure he'll probably either is in this service or will be in the service at 11 o'clock today. But he said... He said, I never went to church, hardly in my whole life. And he said, I have three children. None of them have ever been in church. And he said, my wife and I are separated. And he said, I was working in a lab over at one of the colleges, and a professor that I respected very much came to me one day recently and said, here's a book. Here's a book I'd like for you to read. And he said, because I had respect for the professor, I began to read the book as we're told to read it, one page a day. And he said, when I got to page 11, there was something just broke through on me, and suddenly I realized what I was here for. I realized my purpose in life after 11 days. And he said, I won't try to tell you how I got to University Park Church, because that's a whole different story. But he said, when I walked in the door, I knew this was exactly where I belonged. I knew this is where I'm supposed to be. Hallelujah. God works miracles through movies. God works miracles through books. But we have to be willing to be an instrument to, in fact, I think there's going to be a lot of people who are going to buy a lot more books than you need, because there are people that get saved through this book. They're going to cost us a little more than $7, I think, at the bookstore. They cost $19.99, but we're getting them for $7 plus the postage or the shipping. And we're going to put out a lot of them. We got 600 books ordered, and we're going to get, if we need to, we'll get more than that. You can buy them at Sam's for $7.99. So Sam's got a lot of them, I'm sure, and you'll be able to get these books. And let's take advantage of what is happening today. Else we're going to look back one day down in the future and wonder why we didn't do something about winning people to the Lord in that critical point in time when God brought a convergence of incidents and things that were happening that would open the door of a lot of people's hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is not a commercial. This is a part of the message. We've got to get ourselves, we must, dear friends, we must get ourselves involved and equipped and prepared to do a great work for the Lord, because over these next few months, if we'll do our part, if we will take advantage of our opportunities now, if we'll do that, we will see scores of people brought into the kingdom of God, maybe some of them into this church. But the main thing is get them saved. Get them in the kingdom. Amen. It'll be good. They need to find a church somewhere, and I don't know of a better one they can find than this one right here. But the important issue is that they come to know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. And if they do, if they really come to know Jesus, they will find a church. And somebody I can hear saying, well, do you think people have to go to church to be a Christian? No, I don't think you have to. I don't think you'd have to go to church to be a Christian, but it's somewhat like the duck. A duck don't have to go to water to be a duck. But if there's water around, he'll go, because that's his nature. That's what he wants to do. Amen. Because he's a duck, he'll get to the water if there's any to be found anywhere. And if you really come to know Jesus, amen, you'll find a place where others are that you can meet together with and worship together with and encourage one another in the faith. That's what the Scripture says. And he says, don't forsake assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is. Some have already done that. And Paul warns against that. He says, we should assemble together as often as we have opportunity and meet together for the purpose of giving glory and honor and praise and adoration to the King of Kings who died on the cross for our sins. Hebrews chapter 10 is where I want to read this morning. The argument that is being presented here presents a contrast between the Old Testament Levitical priesthood and the new priesthood that was introduced in the new covenant by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. God's only Son gave us this new testament and this new priesthood, and He's drawing comparisons between the two, between the Old Testament priesthood and the New Testament priesthood. And he's talking about how they affected the lives of people in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. And here's what he says. Beginning with about verse 5. He says, "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you, Father, did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. You were not satisfied.' Then I said, and this is Jesus speaking here, Jesus said, 'Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.' First," he said, "sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, 'Here am I have come to do your will.' He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Day after day, under the old covenant, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time, one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by this one sacrifice, he has made perfect, complete, forever, those who are in the process of being made holy. The Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts. I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." Now, I know that's a long scripture reading, but I tell you, if we can grasp that truth, if we can get hold of that, it makes all the difference about how we view ourselves and how we view God. And when you see the film, many of you haven't seen yet, when you see that, you'll come to understand what was happening there and why all of this grief and all of this pain, all of this suffering, all of this rejection, you'll begin to see why it had to be that way. No one could be offered for the sins of mankind other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the Creator. He is the only one that could. And so for many years, God set up a sacrificial system that was administered by the priests that were a part of the nation of Israel. And day after day, they offered sacrifices for sin that never could actually cleanse sin away. It could not take the guilt out of a person's heart, and it simply rolled sin back and back again. And finally, once a year, the high priest offered an atonement or a sin for the whole nation. He offers a sacrifice for that sin, and it's rolled back from year to year, but it never does set the spirit free, and there's always that sense of guilt. Always that sense of guilt was on the hearts of people, and this system was not pleasing to God. It certainly was difficult for the human family, But it was also something that did not fully satisfy the law, and it didn't satisfy God. And so he had determined before the foundation of the world that he would establish the law, and in so doing, he would literally bring every one of us the knowledge of right and wrong, what we ought to do and what we shouldn't do. And yet we know that in the nation of Israel, where they were the first ones to know this, even though they had the knowledge of the truth, it didn't seem to give them the strength. It did not give them the ability to rise above sin. Even though they knew it was sinful, they had within them something that drove them often to do the wrong thing. Have you found that that's still around today? That we still have the same problem. We know what is right and wrong, but somehow or other, we find ourselves often doing what is wrong rather than doing what is right, and still feeling that we did something wrong and that we should. The difference now is that there was a sacrifice made by the Lord Jesus Christ, so vividly portrayed in the movie that some of us have seen, where you begin to get a picture of the price that was paid for our redemption, that every one of us should have suffered the kind of things that Jesus suffered, because we are the guilty ones. We're the ones that did wrong. Amen. Not him. He never did anything that was wrong. He never said anything that was wrong. His life was a perfect life, and he himself met every demand that the law made on any human being. Once for all, he walked in holiness and righteousness before God and ultimately took all of our sins on him. If Jesus had sinned himself, his death would have been only as an atonement for his sin, or that justice might be done. He didn't sin. Therefore, he could take our sins. And because he had greater intrinsic worth than the whole human family, having been the creator of the human family, amen, the creator has more value than the creation. Amen. The Creator is worth more than what He created. We say He has more value than the creation. Therefore, Jesus one day looked at this whole picture and said, knew the Father was not pleased, and said, Here I am, Father. He said, lo. He said, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. It is written in the scroll, it is written in the scroll that I should be the one to do this. So I have come, Jesus said, I have come to do your will. Someone said, who crucified Jesus? Was it the Jews? Was it the Romans? Was it the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Who crucified Jesus? It could be no one other than God the Father. God the Father crucified His Son, Jesus. And He did that in order to atone for the sins of the whole human family. For your sins and for my sins. And that's what really gripped my heart when I saw that film. All of this He did for me. All of this the Father did for this human family. Because God loved us and loves us. God so loved the whole world that He gave His only begotten Son. Gave Him as a sacrifice for sin. That's what Jesus came to be. He came to be a sacrifice for sin. And He was able to be a sacrifice for sin because He met every demand of the law. Whatever the law required, it was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And since He met every demand of the law, He obtained a righteousness through obedience, a righteousness that was complete and perfect, and furthermore, beyond all of that, Jesus not only died for our sins, but He also offered us His righteousness. God has credited to our account, every one of us individually, God has credited the righteousness of Christ to the account of everyone who trusts in, relies upon, and clings to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it's unbelievable. It's the most unbelievable thing that a person can hardly imagine. That God, our Heavenly Father, could have such love for us when He could have just, you know, He had the power, He had the authority, He could have just blotted us all out. He certainly had the power to do that, and I think He would have been justified in doing that. Because this human family has caused Him a lot of grief. It certainly has. And at one time He almost did with a flood. He almost just blotted the whole thing out, but saved righteous Noah and his family and started over again. And ultimately, of course, the plan involved Abraham. Amen. And ultimately Moses and the law. And He was always moving toward the full and final redemption of this human family that He loved so much. You can ask me, why did God love us this way? And I'm going to tell you, I can't even begin to answer it. I don't know. I can't answer why He would have had such love for us that He would be willing to give His Son, that Jesus would voluntarily say to the Father, Father, I came for this purpose. I'm here. I'm willing. I'm ready now. I'm ready now to be the sacrifice that You have designed I should be. There was no drawing back when He could have called 10,000 angels. Yes, He could have. He could have called legions of angels to deliver Him from the Roman soldiers. He didn't have to do what He did. He chose to do it. Amen. He had to do it because love required it. Amen. And the Father willed it. And that's why He keeps talking about the will of God. And I tell you, I learned a long time ago, the best thing for you and me to pray is, Lord, I want Your Lordship established and I want Your will to be done in my life just as it is in heaven. And when I think about what He did for me to fulfill the will of God, to complete the will of God, He offered His own body on the cross one time. For all generations, hallelujah, He offered His life as an atonement for our sins and then simply requires of us, somebody I know might be thinking, well, He requires that we go to church, that we pay our tithes, that we do. Well, all of this, I believe, is in the Scripture and it's things that we want to do. But you could do all those things and not be saved. You could go to church every time the doors open. You could be baptized in water till the catfish knew your first name. You know, you see, it doesn't, none of these things, these rituals, none of this saves us. Amen. But once you come to know Jesus, once you put your faith in Him, you want to do whatever He wants you to do. Hallelujah. We want to do that. It's not that we have to do something now. It's not that we are bound by law to do something now. I don't pay tithes because it's the law. Because I'm under a different law today. I'm under a law of love. And love and devotion to God requires a whole lot more of me than some law that is written on a page somewhere. Because in my heart, it's not 10% or 15% or 20%. It's all His. And I joyfully give whatever He says, which is always, always has been, always more than 10%. Never been less than 10% for me. Always been more than that. Because love requires it. Amen. Love requires my best. It requires a sacrifice on my part. Why? Because I'm compelled to by law? No, by love. By love I do. And because of love for Him. And when you see what He suffered, what He experienced, and if you can see that and be brought, that can be brought to full understanding in your mind, you want to love Him more and more and more. You want to do more for Him. Amen. You want to express that in all the different ways possible because you see how much He loved you. You want to love Him. Did anybody else have a feeling like that when you went to that movie? You just want to love Him more. I don't want to be a half-hearted Christian. I don't want to go to church simply because I think it's my duty. I want to do whatever I do for Him because He put a love in my heart and renewed that love in my heart. I want to do what He wants me to do. Is that the way you're feeling today? If it is, just stand up on your feet. I just want to do what He wants me to do. That's what I want to do. He's worthy. He's worthy of my full devotion. He is worthy of my full and complete devotion. And I want to do His will. That's what I want more than anything else. And Father, we are standing up here at the close of this service, standing in Your presence to say that we want to be all that we have the ability to be and a lot more than that, Lord. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit will fill our hearts and fill our hearts with such love for You and love for one another that we'll take every opportunity possible, Lord, to reach out and to share that love and to open a door for someone else to find Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior and Lord. And Father, I ask You to minister to every heart that is here today. Hallelujah.